Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad. We're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going down?
Feeling good, and it's good to be finally reacquainted with you, Chris Broad. You've been a busy bee, buzzing around, and it's been really exciting to hear for your exploits in your bar. You've been in a bar, you've been working in a bar, you've been managing a bar, Chris. Come on now.
It was, it was pretty fun, actually, running a bar. Don't know, after, like, talking to 100 people and running a bar for 4 days, I was a little bit like, I don't think I want to do this again. I said, it's just so hard, so much hard work. And, like, we cheated a little bit because we only served sake, so there was no cocktail making. It was just pour the drink in the cup. And even that, I fucked up. I spilt it all over the bar and whatnot. But Natsuki came along, and that was good, and Sharla was there. It was a good fun little thing. Good little week, but exhausted.
Because you, when I did the pre-Christmas celebration of Abroad Japan in London's nightlife district, in between shows, you had like sort of meet and greets, and you just did about 5 hours of saying hello to people, getting pictures taken, shaking hands, receiving gifts and chocolates, which I ended up eating some of them. Was it about as exhausting as that? Because you really enjoyed yourself, but it was really hard work. I could tell, even from distance.
Well, this time it was only 25 people an evening, so it wasn't as full on. There was I spoke to 500 people in one afternoon, and I don't know how I pulled that off. Really, that was really quite a miracle that I was able to get through that and not like collapse. Because when I talk to each and every person, I actually put some effort in. I try and have a conversation, right? It's not just, hello, my name is Chris, take a selfie and fuck off. I try and actually talk to them, right? I want to know what they're doing. What's their deal? Mm. What's going on? Are they subscribed? Are they on the Patreon? That's what I want to know. 500 people intimidating them to join the Patreon. But yeah. No, so I put in the effort. And with this time, it was the extra added sort of difficult component of having to pour drinks and drink them. And I drank every single round with them throughout the evening. So we had three sets, right?
Oh, lordy.
One group at 6, 7, 8, and they came in for 2 hours each. And they had three drinks each. So that's 9 drinks I had to battle my way through. And by the time I got to the last round, I was like, fucked. I was messed up.
How did you do 6, 7, and 8 in 2 hours each? Your maths is all over the place.
Well,
was it rotationals?
It was, yeah. So they came the first hour, right. They got to sit at the bar counter, and the second hour they sat in this tatami mat room and played chess.
I get,
did various things, and I sort of left Charla in there to entertain them. Charla did that. So
B grade. It's my B grade experience.
It was a team effort, and by round 3 of the group, I was just obliterated because I'd gone through like 6 or 7 cups of sake.
Yeah, I bet. I bet the 8 o'clock show showing was getting some proper weird experiences, like absolutely. A one man puking robot show, robot restaurant,
vomited juice robot restaurant. No, it was good fun though.
Yeah.
This is like the third kind of meetup event I've done in the last 6 months, isn't it? Between the Halloween party, the one in London, and this one. Don't know if I'll do it again anytime soon. I guess if people buy the book, then I'll do it and do a tour of the world. I'll be everywhere.
Doing
be good.
little bar tours. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, it's good fun.
when is the book out? When is it all happening?
It's looking like it's coming out in July. And so you can pre-order it now, but I'm sort of holding fire until I know more details. I don't think we've got any stores set up outside of the UK. And obviously, given that like all of our viewers and listeners are outside of the UK, I want to wait until I know what's going on there. So yeah, holding fire
before
for a bit.
Announce properly.
And also we get the book cover right. They say don't judge a book by its cover, but I do. And I want my cover to be good. It needs to be good.
Let me guess. You in a Lolita cosplayer uniform. Just giving the middle finger up to the camera. Yeah. Chris
Why not?
Bro in Japan.
Sitting on the shoulders of Ken Watanabe in Kabukicho.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Something like that.
Now, I don't know. I don't even know what I want the fucking front cover to look like, really. The team are going to go away and design that, then run it past me. I don't know. I'm been obsessed with Maneki Neko Lucky Cats recently. I think they look so cool. So maybe I'll just have a Lucky Cat covered in fucking sake.
You
sitting on a shelf.
Sort of Photoshop like a Lucky Cat going, like, pawing, going, meow, meow, I give you good luck. A bit of that.
Why not? Yeah. Why not? Let's do it.
Why not? Why the hell not, for crying out loud?
Well, we'll get Natsuki on there. And it was really nice, like, spending time with Natsuki and seeing him in Kyoto, because originally he wasn't come to the bar. He's like, oh, Chris, so busy, so busy. And I was like, look, Natsuki, it's money. And he was like, I'll catch the first plane. I'll get there now.
I'm all the ear. I'm all the ear. Where's my money?
Obviously, I always pay Natsuki when he appears in videos, but I had to bribe him especially more to get him down to Kyoto. Because where he is, it's like a train, a plane, a fucking automobile, a boat. It's a nightmare for him to get there. But he had a wild time. He turned up wearing this incredible kimono, which you'll see in the video. But I wore this kimono, right? My friend down in Kyoto hooked me up with the top kimono man. And he was like, you know, does like the emperor's kimono. And it was just, and then he was doing mine. And on the way to the bar, where he drove me back in his Audi or whatever, I said, you know, how much is this kimono? Like $3,000 or something? And he was like, no, more than this car. And I was like, what the fuck? Wow. It was like $35,000 kimono. And I was like, no, what are you insane?
Did you get like custard down it or something?
A strawberry jam and despair. I was like, don't worry, if you spill stuff down it, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Then go to town on it. But there was one point where I was pouring someone's drink in my arm was over a candle. And I just thought, oh my God, I realised like my arm's getting like hot.
Chris, and, you're giving me the heebie-jeebies. I can't handle this.
Well, staining a $30,000 kimono is one thing, or cutting it, but setting fire to it, I suspect even he would have struggled to repair that. Yeah, that was a bit scary.
Did it have pockets? That's all I asked. Did it have it nice big pockets?
Yeah, they're in the sleeves, right, aren't they? The sleeves of kimonos are really big. And so it was like deep within I had
keep
a tissue.
Stuff in there.
That was pretty good. Yeah, you can keep anything in there. You can fucking put everything you want down there. But yeah, it was good fun. It was all in all, it was good fun. And now I'm bracing myself for the upcoming cycle with Connor around Kyushu, like we did in Hokkaido last September.
Yes.
We're doing that again, and I'm not ready. I've got 8 days to do it. I know, I'm kind of a bit fucked. I know, I think I'm healthier now than when I started the last cycle, but I'm still well out of my depth on this. And I went for a long walk the other day, and my legs are really sore even 2 days later.
Aww.
So how am I going to cycle 100 kilometers for 7 fucking days? How am I going to do it? What painkillers? I'm going to need like morphine drip in my arm on an IV to get through it all. That's
but you were
good.
Kind of like, you go in cycles, don't you? Sometimes you're fit.
Literally
sometimes
cycles.
You're tired when you get on the bike. But when you're out and about, will Connor be like streaming live and stuff? Because I'm fascinated by this new streaming technology that allows you to sort of stream while you're skiing or snowboarding, stuff like that. It's incredible. Incredible stuff.
Yeah, more recently he's hooked the backpack up to a better camera, so it's a much nicer image. It's pretty cool. It's cool to, and yeah, he's going to be streaming every single day of the trip, so that
wild.
Should be interesting. And I'm going to be filming it, kind of like we did for the last one, right? So yeah, that'd be good. But I'm worried, and I need to go to the gym tonight and prepare. And but instead, I've been sitting in the studio filming like. A polystyrene face and making stupid like short film that is for my own private consumption. That sounds really shady. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, I know that sounds like you've got a weird polystyrene face that you're messing with and filming.
I was testing a Blackmagic cinema camera and using cool music. I sent you the video. You saw nothing untoward.
You did.
There was nothing ropey in there.
Depends on it. Depends. When you, Chris, obviously, on another podcast called The Luke and Pete Show, I've been trying to make the KSI Logan Paul drink dangerously uncool, Prime, and I am also and obviously Mr. Beast has been in the news this week about making his followers tidy up his chocolate range in Walmart, of all places.
The Mr. Beast chocolate.
Unpaid, yeah. Is there any interest in releasing your own kind of sake or chocolate? Or what product would it be if it was up to you? Chris Broad snack.
Braun Japan chicken, isn't it? In a jelly
yes,
form factor.
Yes, Fammy Chicky. Yes, Chrissy Chicky.
What about, we'd chop up some fried chicken into a fine paste and put it in a Dr. Yeah. Jelly pouch, and you could suck that out on the go. Oh, God. Like a pate.
Well, you do have, like, there was on that Sora News website, there was this news story about in Taiwan, there was pudding ramen, where, like, it's like a pudding that, it's like a caramel, you know those caramel desserts you get in England?
Yeah.
They're like caramel puddings with a little tab on the bottom, and you pull it, and it
opens
up,
and
it flobs out. Caramel puddings, and I you mix it with your ramen to make it creamier, I think, or sweeter. Apparently it works.
Jesus Christ, not so sure about that, to be honest. But yeah, it seems like that drink. What's it called? Prime. That's just. I'm glad it's not in Japan. I'm glad I'm shielded from the mania. Although it was in the UK when it kicked off, and I never actually saw it with my own eyes. A testament to how popular the damn drink was. Although I read there was a guy in Kent who'd like a news agent in Kent, where I'm from, and he'd like hoarded loads of them and become like the number one Prime shop in the UK, selling this god awful coconut water.
It's just sugar water, isn't it? But they've kind of limited the amount of bottles available to buy in the UK, and so now it's to bump up the price and stuff and bump up the scarcity.
What was the Mr. Beast chocolate? I know he sells chocolate, but what do you mean he was getting views to
clean it up? Beast, he tweeted yesterday or the day before, basically saying, look, if you see my chocolate bars in Walmart or any other store, and if everything's in disarray, if the chocolate bars are kind of like flopping around and, you know, it looks untidy, can you tidy them up for me? If you're a fan of Mr. Beast, can you help? And it's just like, It's fucking capitalism, mate. Get your own fucking chocolate tidiers. But obviously his kind of like stands are just like going absolutely wild and going, yeah, man, I'm heading out to Walmart now to tidy up your fucking chocolates. He's like, fuck off.
Power.
Fuck off. Just fuck right off. Terrible stuff. Terrible.
Powerful stuff. But yeah, this is top tier YouTubers, right? Terrifying how much power they wield. I mean, I remember I was talking to someone recently about like influencers, and you know, I am one. I forget that. They're just so influential. It sounds stupid.
They
wield a level of power that even celebrities would be shocked by, because you know, people typically trust influencers more than sort of A-list celebrities. And I think they should, in fairness, because usually a celebrity's got like four different PR companies to go through and you never know what the real deal is. And to some extent, as an influencer, it's just you with a camera. It's a great way to directly contact your fans and have that rapport. But yeah, there is a level of, I don't know, just the way you can influence.
I think when people just get things wrong, it's just like, oh, you've really got that wrong. This is weird. And you know, and with a name like Mr. Beast, I suppose you would, you say one thing and everything gets taken out of context, and it's just kind of like, but yeah, I'm not a fan of the guy anyway. But it just seemed like a particularly callous way to motivate, to weaponize your fan base, to tidy up your fucking chocolate for granted.
I had a meeting with Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean.
I had a meeting with Mr. Beast's manager, I think 4 or 5 months ago, actually, to talk about something. Guy called Reed. He's really on the ball, obviously. A big part of Mr. Beast's success. I think Mr. Beast is a team of about 100 plus people, and he owns like a small town in North Carolina, like you do.
Right.
And it's just everything's next level with him. But I did recommend that they should send Mr. Beast to space, and he was like, "We'll look into that." So if Mr. Beast goes to space, I want credibility. Yeah, I want to take the credit for that. It was me.
I want credibility.
In the same way I met Elon Musk and gave him a rocket-shaped birthday cake 12 years ago, I feel like I'm instrumental in the future of space travel. All these these little conversations, these little cakes here and there. I've played my part in space
travel. A little morsel here, a morsel there.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a story this week from Daniel Radcliffe himself, or Seth. I don't know why it got me excited then. Seth Gregory, who says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. My first month in Japan, I experienced a rather bizarre interaction beginning with a simple lunch in Shinjuku. On my lunch break, I decided to grab sushi at a local Kaiten Sushi Kaveya restaurant. And while the restaurant was busy, I was able to be seated at one spot at the counter next to an elderly Japanese woman. When she noticed me struggling to operate the hot water faucet, she offered to help, first in Japanese, then in surprisingly good English, when she realised I couldn't speak very well. We continued to chat for the remainder of my lunch, and she ended up inviting me to coffee over the weekend." Crikey. Oh. "Thinking nothing of it, and seeing as she was very friendly, I agreed, and she suggested we meet in Shibuya. At the agreed time, I met her by the station, and she asked if it was okay to take a short train ride elsewhere, as she said that she knew a good place, in quotation marks. 3 line transfers, and 45 minutes later, we arrive at the place, a rather unremarkable family restaurant. Shortly after sitting down, she pulls out a suspicious pamphlet written entirely in Japanese with a photo of Mount Fuji on it and asked me, 'Have you seen this before?' When I said no, she seemed very excited and spent the next 40 minutes translating and dictating the entire thing, more or less describing how the entire world will perish in horrific earthquakes, fires, and other such disasters in the near future before burning in hell for eternity, unless everyone follows these very specific instructions. Finally, she mentioned that by complete coincidence, the group's headquarters is right next door, and she would like me to visit to receive a blessing. At this point, however, I made up some excuse about having to go and meet some friends and take off for the station shortly thereafter. When I got back, and showed the pamphlet to my Japanese housemates, they all laughed and said, oh yeah, these guys are the Mount Fuji death cult. Ha ha ha. Suffice to say, I learned my lesson about following random strangers across the city for some coffee. Has anyone tried to induct you guys into a cult while you've been in Japan? And did groups like these go after foreigners in particular? P.S. guys, thanks for a great time at the Abroad in Japan bar last week. Oh, thanks for coming, Seth. Hope you had a good time. Would love to have heard that story in person. Yeah, the Abroad Japan bar. Follow me. Follow these instructions or you'll die in hell.
Yeah.
Wow, the Mount Fuji death cult.
I like that. I mean,
it's not Alm,
I guess
it?
It's the focus of a lot of Japan. So, like, I imagine if you're going to worship something or if you're going to have a death cult, may as well do it on Mount Fuji, I suppose.
Good views, isn't it? Get some good views.
Good. Look, great to just look out from the top of Mount Fuji, drinking the Kool-Aid. Brilliant.
Fantastic. No, my luck. Stuff. If I went to join the cult and I went to their fucking Mount Fuji headquarters, there'd be a cloud covering Mount Fuji that day. And it'll be one. I was on the train the other day going to Kyoto. Blue skies from Sendai to Kyoto. Blue skies, not a single cloud. And then we got to Mount Fuji. We rocketed past it. And there's one fucking cloud blocking the view. Bastard.
Yeah,
but I think, is this maybe the cult Alm? You know, the ones that did the sarin gas attacks? Because I know their headquarters was also at the base of Mount Fuji. And they did fire and death and hell. So
they're not back on the beat.
They do
are
exist
they?
Still. Yeah, they still exist.
Oh, lordy.
Although the head
I guess
guy,
they were quite successful relatively as a death cult goes.
Yeah, pretty terrifyingly. And the head guy, sentenced to death and did get hung a few years ago with a few other group members, I think. Jesus, though, God. There was there's the Happy Science cult / religion, and the founder of that recently passed away. I think he was age 69 or something, and he was supposed to encompass Jesus, Muhammad, Father Christmas, and everything basically, and that didn't seem to help him live longer. Maybe when you are burdened with being all of these characters at once. Or real individuals, maybe that burdens your body and you just don't live long. Either way.
It's burdened my body. help, it's burdened my body.
This is the one where Pete Macy, Premier 2, he did a voiceover for their advert and had to be the voice of the cult leader. And at one point...
Oh, really? Brilliant.
When he went into the building, I think it was somewhere in Shibuya, there was a woman there who greeted him with a puppet dog on her arm. And she was like, Mr. Wiffles says come this way. And it was like, sounded fucking insane. So good. God.
Good stuff.
But we got a story this week about some rudeness in convenience stores. Yo. Some controversy. Tell us what's going on, Pete. What's the news in Japan this week?
Well, we're in trouble as foreigners. We are in trouble as foreigners. Japanese convenience stores are known for being, you know, I've said it before, 7-Eleven is very much the embassy. It's where your credit card works more often than not on the old ATM machines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently... Apparently somebody visited a convenience store recently, a branch of Lawson located in Osaka, when they came across a sign posted on the steamed bun display case at the counter. The sign, despite being written entirely in Japanese, is addressed to foreigners and reads, "To foreign customers, kore is prohibited. Say, nikoman kudasai." Kore means this, and kudasai means thank you, please. So when you're in a shop, and I've done it, and will continue to do it, because fuck this guy, kore kudasai, like this, please. You know, it may sound possibly to Japanese ears a little stronger than it needs to be, but reading between the lines, it appears that staff had enough of foreign customers saying kore, and presumably pointed to the display case while doing so, as indicated by an illustration of a pointy finger on the piece of paper. So yeah, people are
What the hell?
So people are sort of kind of getting upset at the owner of the Lawson's, kind of, because they're saying, like, I don't think the word foreigner should be used here. That's a bit strong. If it's a word for foreigners, if it's a message for foreigners, shouldn't it be written in English? Does that mean Japanese people can say kore? Well, they shouldn't give their steam buns such long names like pizza bun with melty cheese and tomato. They should give the buns numbers instead, given there are so many different kinds. It's hard for staff to see which people are pointing at from the other side of the counter anyway. for crying out loud. So, it sounds very much like the Japanese people are on board with the foreigners'
furious
difficulties about saying what they want. But I had no idea that Kore was particularly rude, Christopher. Is this the case?
I mean, it depends how you say it. Like, Kore shitotsu onegai shimasu. Like, if you're like, one of these, please. If you just go, Kore, then yeah, that could kind of be rude because it's like you're just going, this, bleh. But if you're like, Kore shitotsu onegai shimasu.
Kore.
Yeah. But it's what's weird about this, yeah, they've written it in Japanese. So it's a little post-it note that says, Gaikokuji no kyakusama, Kore kinshi nikuman kudasai. Like, they've written it in kanji that nobody can read if they don't know Japanese. And the odds are, you know, if you can read that, you're going to be like polite anyway, right? So nothing
or
about
ruder.
This makes sense.
Ruder and more accurate in Japanese, maybe. I don't know.
It's weird. It's just like somebody working at the store must have just been pissed off or grumpy that day and thought, fuck this, and then wrote it on a note and stuck it on. And I'm amazed they got
that
away
very
with that,
much
really.
Well, I mean, they didn't. As soon as Lawson head office got wind of it, he went, no,
really?
Let's get rid of that, please. Thank you.
And rightly so. Rightly so. It's a little bit cheeky, isn't it?
We're just doing our best, for crying out loud. We're just doing our best as foreigners.
I think we should seek out this convenience store and go there 5 times in one day. And just be like, Kore! Kore! Jigaimasu! When they go to get the nikuman, just be like, Jigaimasu! Kore! Janai! Kore! And just harass the person responsible for this treacherous behaviour. Cheeky fucker. Honestly.
Cheeky fucker. Honestly.
They didn't explain why anyone was doing this. Was it just someone in the store?
I think it's just... I do it all the time when I'm there. So, yeah,
but like,
I don't really know why...
Did they explain why
issue.
The staff did this or who the place did it?
It was quite hard to figure out what people meant, if you know what I mean, when it comes to pointing out which buns. That was pretty much why it was there. The staff told the head office that the sign was put up after a number of customers ended up receiving the wrong bun. But that doesn't... It doesn't mean, you know, that's not what the sign achieves, is it?
I used to get a pizza man, like a pizza bread, every morning for 3 years on my way to school. It was a great breakfast. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Pizza bread and an iced coffee. That is the dream. That is the key to success. And I would always be like, Kore onegai shimasu. And they never fucked it up. Not once. Because they can see where my finger's pointing. And they know what's going on, honestly.
Yeah, man, like you're touching the buns as well. You just open the back of the machine and just jam your hand in there.
Yeah.
Get pizza sauce on your fingers.
Steal all the pizza bread. We'll be back in just a moment, guys. Real stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now we're back with the fax machine. And Pete has no questions this week because I've got access to them. And he doesn't.
Oh,
hey, power.
Freestyling it.
Power at my fingertips here. And here's the first one from Harry, who says... Hello, Chris and Pete. My name's Harry, and I'm coming to you from the land of rugby and birds that can't fly, aka New Zealand. As I was, as I wait with bated breath to find out if I get accepted on the JET program, I'm currently making a contingency plan for if I don't. I'd like to apply for a working holiday visa, but besides a master's in fine arts specialised in theatre, my only skill of note is that I'm a very experienced barista. Or as I often mistakenly call it, a barrister, which is a very different profession. My question is, how difficult would it be to find work throughout cafes in Japan when I have little to no language knowledge? Will my 8 years of experience and beautiful latte art help balance that out? Also, how are you doing? Also, we want to hear how you're doing. All the best, guys. Harry from New Zealand. Are you doing well, Pete? Are you
I'm
good?
Doing all right, yeah. You doing all right?
I'm all right.
Are we doing all right?
I'm cracking.
We're fine. We're fine.
Just want to be a I want to be a barrister, not a barista.
I want to be a barista. Barista.
Well, I already foresee problems, Harry. As long as people pointing at the wrong thing on the menu. Correct. Could already see some issues there. I would say, I think you could probably work at a coffee shop in Japan if you don't know Japanese. To some extent, maybe it would have to be one where the customers are largely foreign customers in Tokyo. I don't know. It would be a little bit tricky, I'm not gonna lie. Maybe let's hope for the JET program. I recently discovered the secret to getting on the JET program. I met someone who did the marking for it, and I found out all the secrets. Do you want to know the secret?
No, actually, no, I don't.
You want to know?
How do you get on? How do you get on?
Do you 50
get on? No, this is going to be absolute mana from heaven for people who will be going on this, surely.
Well, I will tell you for a fee. No, the secret, apparently, is no Japanese. They basically said, even if they were like shit, they would basically be like, give them a yes. If they knew any Japanese or
knew
if they
any
claimed...
Japanese at all.
If they claimed they'd learn Japanese, right? And on my application, even though... I was like, I'm rubbish at Japanese, I'm a beginner, but I've been studying a few hours. I think that must have swung it for me, right? So that must have helped me get through. So yeah, he basically
said
that.
Chat.
Just basically like, yeah, wabi-sabi, innit? But like, even if you don't know any Japanese, if you've indicated you've learned a little bit, you don't have to demonstrate it in front of the interviewers.
That's amazing.
There you go. It's a shame we're 10 years too late for you and my other friends who wanted to get on. But if we can go back in time, in a time machine, we can tell a younger Pete Donaldson the secret.
Me and Ludwig.
You, Ludwig, and Jackie's husband, Nick. The glorious trio. Three of the most brilliant people I know. And because they don't speak a word of Japanese or knew anything other than Chigaimas, they couldn't get on the Jap program. So what I will say to you, Harry, is make sure you know some Japanese and you'll be fine. It's as easy as that, apparently. It's a seriously flawed interview process because he was like, just idiots were getting on left, right and centre, but they knew like one word of Japanese. Pretty big flaw.
That's awful.
Pretty big flaw.
That's a big flaw. Never mind.
Well, there you go. I have lost the other story. Fuck.
Oh, you lost the other story.
So I'm supposed to have access here and I failed it. All right, here we go. One here. Here we go. LA Pachinko Pete and Cheese Night Chris. I visited Japan for the first time in 2016 and I've not been very clued up on much more than a few video games and a few usual bits and pieces. However, at my first visit, I was blown away by how different Japan feels and how calm and enjoyable the rural parts can be. I visited a couple of times since, the last being as lockdown began. I boarded my flight to we can't refund you. The rules still say it's safe to fly. And I landed to a bunch of people messaging me, freaking out that during the flight, the travel rules and lockdown had come into effect. Good God. Wow. I managed to have an incredible 10 days of freedom before I was forced to return with 7 other people on our flight, which was odd. That was almost 3 years ago, and I've been learning Japanese since, and I'm really excited to try it out. Due to time constraints, I'm limited when I can go this year, and I'm looking to go during August. Am I a complete nutter for considering this, or will I be able to enjoy my first time there still speaking Japanese? I'm more than happy to go off the beaten path, but if you have any tips for summer-friendly places to check out, that would be amazing. All the best, guys. Tim
summer
from London.
Loving, having a blast.
In Hokkaido.
Hanging out in Japan.
Can you imagine, like, getting on a plane, and then while you're in midair, they're like, we've just shut the border, and he managed to sneak in on the last day, which would have been like the end of March or the first week of April 2020. A very bizarre time indeed. But I don't know, what would you do in summer if you come to Japan?
Hot guy summer. I'd probably just mooch around Kyoto and place like that. You know, it's nice and picturesque. It will be filled with people, but you know, you'll be able to get a little pocket of dreamy environs for yourself, I'm sure. Just have a stroll around. Just make sure you take a bottle of water or two, because you know, dehydration is no joke, people.
That's very true. That's why Picari Sweat is so easily to purchase on the go. I've just come back from Kyoto, and it was rammed to fuck most of the streets.
Right.
Absolutely rammed. But it still doesn't overshadow what is an amazing city. And the secret hack to surviving Kyoto's crowds are, number one, don't go on a Saturday and Sunday, because you've got all the Japanese tourists to contend with as well.
Right.
Whereas a weekday, it's not half as bad. And then get up really early and go in the morning between like 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. and the crowds are much less. By about 3 p.m., it's insane. It's like Mad Max. It's a bit wild. It's a bit crazy in these streets. So yeah, pick the right day. Go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Go in the morning and you will be able to have Kyoto all to yourself, as far as I'm concerned.
Lovely.
But also Hokkaido. Go to Hokkaido. In summertime, it's the one part of Japan that's actually bearable and thoroughly pleasant in those hot, humid weather. So bear that in mind. But come on over. Come on back, Tim. Put your Japanese to good use, and just remember, kore hitotsu onegai shimasu, not just kore. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Inconvenience stores in Nagoya. We'll be back later in the week, guys. But for now, keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.